Okay, again, blessings to you all. I see some dads here today. We got young dads. We got more seasoned dads. We got all kinds of dads. So I'm going to ask you beautiful men if you would stand up. Would you stand, men, please, fathers? Would you stand on your feet? And ladies, I want us all to just give them your love and appreciation this morning with ovation. Hallelujah. And ladies, make sure you take them to lunch. Probably El Tapatio. And if not, you know, you can go to Hobby or the Palace or wherever you want to go. Or Black Bear, of course. Or you can go home and cook. Whichever. You probably already got the roast in the oven, don't you? Like my mama, she already had the roast in the oven. Well, before we got up on Sunday morning, or fried chicken going. And we got home to cold fried chicken. Isn't that good? All right. Well, there's something I just want to say today, because I know that Father's Day can be so painful to a lot of people, because a lot of people had a wonderful father. He was a blessed father. He was just a family man in your house. And I want to give honor to my father, who was a beautiful family man. He put God first and then his wife and us kids. I think he loved her more than us, but I think that was the way it was supposed to be. But you know what? He loved us too. We were poor, but we were never without the luxury of love. We always had love and peace in our home. And so I'm thankful for that. Thankful for my husband. He was the same kind of man, good father to the girls, and a beautiful family man, same order, God first, then me, the family, and the church, and his job. Job never came before his family, though he went every single day, he was faithful. And many of you know that kind of father in your home. You were raised that way. Others, some don't even know who their father was. As Sarah, my daughter, my husband was killed when he was 40. She was only 7 years old. So some grew up without having a father and a home for many years. And some, again, you don't even know who he is. So I know, and I'm very sensitive toward Mother's Day and Father's Day, but I try to bring everybody in and let it be a blessing to everybody. So I just want to say to you men that you're the man. You're the man. Now, that's not trying to flatter you. That's not saying it's a little fist bump. You're the man. You're the man. No, it's not that. You just are the man. Because God said that you are the man. That's what he said. He said, in fact, he said the men are his glory. His rundown, his priority list was, he says, man is my priority, and then women are, I'm saying that wrong. 1 Corinthians, he said, man is the glory. Listen to this. Man is the glory of God, and the women are the glory of the man. Isn't that amazing? I always privately kind of wish that it would have been the other way around, and he said women were his glory, and I won't say the rest, but we have to keep it right. He said the men are the glory of God, and then the women are the glory of your husband. In other words, you represent your husband. When you go downtown, wherever you go, they should see the glory of your husband upon you, and I believe they do. And for every man, they should see the glory of God upon that man. Now you say, that dirty, rotten scoundrel I'm married to, that alcoholic, that blah, 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 blah. He's still the glory of God. I mean, that's what it said. So somewhere in it, I don't know where, but he did say, I made woman in my image. Did he say that? I made woman in my image? No. I made who? So wouldn't you say you are the man? Because you were made in his image. We could go on and on about that and pull up scriptures that would really, I'll say, could flatter you. But it sure is awesome to know who you men are and to know that we got to be married to one. You're still married to one. And the men are like a security blanket. And they're a protector. And they're a guide. And they're a guard. And they're just like those pillars there holding that up. They're a stability. They're a pillar of stability in the home. And it's a blessed thing. Now, let me just say this. I don't want to get too personal. But I'll just say, when my husband and baby died, I was so embarrassed, or I should say, maybe the word is I was ashamed, Adrienne. I was ashamed to be a widow. I didn't want to be a single woman. I was known as a mom and a wife and the mother of two, and now I've got this huge identity change. It happened just like that. No warning. And I did not like that at all. And I would say, even though I was traveling all over and preaching the gospel and giving the strength the way that God gave me, I will say that it was still so unpleasant to me because my identity was so whacked out of proportion. I was her, and now I'm her. And those people, those pastors, those churches now knew me as a single woman, and I wanted to shout to them, but I'm not a single woman. Oh, yes, you are. For 2 years it took me to move into that. And I remember when Sarah and I built our first home a year after, we were so blessed, and God became my husband. And I can tell you, when my daddy died, I was a senior in high school, and when he passed away, I didn't know what we would do without him, because Melissa, he was one of those men. He was the comforter. He was the provider. Mama didn't work. I mean, he was our security. He was everything to us girls. And the boys were married then, but it was an amazing thing, the strength to give. So when he died, I'm like, he fell from a tree and I'm to his death, and I'm thinking, what is Mama going to do? She's still got three girls at home. What are we going to do without him? And I knelt at the head of his casket down there at Myers, knelt down there and did everything I knew to do. I serve God then, I serve him now, served him in between, and I got down there with him. I said, Lord, what in the world do you expect us to do? We've never been alone. Mom and the girls, we just never have. What are we going to do? And let me tell you, I don't know how I knew this. I don't know what happened to me. But right there, Brother Salas, he became my father. My earthly father was gone. But he became my heavenly father. So he filled in that gap. So when Rick died, I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to have a pickup in the driveway. Not going to have a truck in the driveway. And that's going to be so embarrassing. Just have a car, no truck. Okay, it's just weird. The funny little things you go through with grief. You think of everything. The devil just, he's always at it. But you know what? God became my husband in a special way. And he has touched me in a way that I'll be forever grateful, knowing him as my father and knowing him as my husband. And you can know him, and I've known him as my comforter. He became my comforter with that peace that passes understanding. And I know I got to get into this, but I just wanted to say, God, I've always been impressed with men. I love you guys so much. There's just something about men that are strong and powerful, and even these young men, they know how to fix cars, they know how to change the oil, they know how to fix a flat tire, they know how to build a fence in the backyard, they know how to dig a well, they just know what to do. One time there was a young man that lived next door and the fence fell down, and I went to him and I said, Paul, what could you do to help me here? That fence fell down. He came over and he had this red line, Brother Kelly, a red line, a red string, and he stretched that thing up. The next thing I know, he went out and bought new boards, put in a new fence, and I'm like, he's too young to know how to do this. How did he know? It's just like men know everything. And sometimes at Christmas or Thanksgiving, I'd like to go sit in the living room with my husband and my brothers and just listen to them talk. They can talk more than a woman. And they just sit there and talk about everything. I mean, just stuff. And women, what do you all talk about? Grandkids, work, that woman that's got an attitude with you. You talk about all that stuff. Well, I didn't want to hear it. But now I know why people talk about their grandkids. So now if you sit with me, we'll talk about mine. It'll be real easy. So anyway, now where am I? How am I going to get out of that, okay? I'm still going with you. Give me a minute. We'll get back. So I guess I was going to say, God made you men. Remember when God told Joshua, he said, Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. He led you this far. And sometimes people leave your life, like my husband, my father, different ones. And he said to him, my servant Moses is dead, but you be courageous. He made Joshua courageous, strong, and full of faith. And that's what he has intended for each one of you men. That's why I love you men, because he made you strong and courageous and brave. It's like men aren't afraid of anything. The doorbell rings at night, they just get up and go answer the door. You're like, don't answer that door. But now, they just get up and go out without a gun or anything. Sometimes without their robe on, just get up and go out. See who's there? What do we women do? Man, that doorbell rings, so you scatter. Who could that be? You can look out the little hole in the door to see who it is. Men are just rugged. They're just tough. They're, you know, see the big parade yesterday, just army strong. Most of you, I would say just about all of you are. But God called you to be that way. He put that in you. And I'm not going to call you a person, Brother Danny. I'm not going to call you men persons. Because you are a man. And you are the man. And God made you a man. And he made us women. And there's a big difference. And God talks about the difference between us. Now we're equal. Paul said there's no more male or female. But he meant, in the spirit realm, we're equal, but we are different. Amen. So, I called you the way God made you. So let's look at Abraham. Abraham, go over to Joshua first, Kathy. Pull up Joshua 24. But then I want to take you somewhere else, and we'll stay there for the rest of the time. Look at Joshua 24. How many know that Abraham was our father? Oh, no, we come from his heritage. We came from the heritage of Abraham. Jesus even comes down through his lineage, Jesus. So he's very, very important. But I want to show you, in case you guys say, yeah, but look, you don't know what I've done, Pastor. You don't know where I've been, so I don't know if there's any hope for me. Well, look at Father Abraham, and maybe you'll be a little encouraged. Look at Joshua chapter 24, verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers included Terah, the father of who? Abraham, and the father of Nahor, lived on the other side of the river in old times. And look, they served other gods, which means they were idolaters. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. So he said, oh, I had to go to the other side of the tracks to get this boy. Abraham wasn't always all that. I know he's your heritage. I know you came out of his loins, Jesus. I know. But he said, I had to go to the other side to get him in the old days. All right, now let's go over to Genesis. And do you ever just wonder, why did God call him an idolater? Why would he fool with him? Well, I'm going to show you right here in Genesis 18. Did I say 28? I'm sorry. Genesis 18:17. No, Kathy, go down to 18. Just 18 and 19. I'm going to read 18 and 19. Genesis 18:19. Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him, for I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, and that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So he said, verse 18, since Abraham will become a mighty nation, a great and mighty nation, and the nations of the earth will be blessed. So the reason you and I are blessed, the Bible says that Abraham was rich. And then it goes on to say he was very rich in cattle, donkey, livestock, money, wealth, gold, silver, all that you can imagine in those days. He said, since Abraham is all that, you say, why, God? Why would you make him the father of many nations? He's an idolater. He said, yeah, but I went over there and got him. Some of you all remember where you were. We can all remember where we were when he came and got us. Can you remember where you were and what drew you to him? You decided, I better change things. I better start over. All right, good. Look at verse 19. Here's why he used him. He says, for I have known him. Now, that word is intimate. Intimacy. He says, he's been close to me. He came up close to me. I really know him. In order that he may, here's why I chose him, look, that he would command his children and his household after him. That means his children, his children's children, and grandchildren, great, 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 right? He's still teaching us. He's teaching you, and he's teaching me this morning. For I've known him, and he'll command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Ladies, you single mothers, you widows, you divorcees, those of you that live alone, I just want to say, we are not left out. Though there may not be a husband in the house, you can teach your children to be a woman or a man without a man in the house. Why? Because of him. Because of what Abraham did, and the blessings of Abraham abide on us. Amen? So he has called us. When he moves in, you take on a new strength. You take on a new order. You take on new priorities and righteousness and holiness. Amen? All right. So he said, this is the reason I chose him, because I knew that he would teach his children. This is Father's Day. Abraham was the man. And Jacob was the man. He went through a lot of things. He went through even a name change, because Jacob's name meant trickster. God changed his name to Israel, which meant a prince with God. So here he says, oh, I knew Abraham, and I knew what he was going to become. And can I tell you, he knows what you're going to become in this last hour of this last day. It's not going to be church as usual. It's not going to be family life as usual. Everything as we know it is going to change very soon. We are in a new era. Are we? Are we in a new era? Everything that's happening, everything's brand new. Okay, so he said, I knew that he would teach his children. He would teach them the right way. He would teach them good manners. And he would also, listen, men, talk to them. When you study this out and you get the full commentary, you'll see where he spoke to his kids. Some of the saddest words I ever heard was from a very precious woman married to one of the greatest men in Porterville. Everybody loved him. He was so friendly to everybody. I heard my own daughter say one day, he is my favorite person in the whole world, because he talked to kids, he talked to adults. He was a gentleman, and he helped seniors, and he loved seniors, and he would just do anything for help. He was loved by everybody, and he loved everybody, but he had a problem with his own family. And his wife told me, He can talk to everybody else, have a good time, be so kind to the kids. But when he comes home, he barely speaks. He wraps up in his own little world. He doesn't talk to the children. He doesn't talk to me. And if you've ever looked at a lonely woman, she says, I'm a very lonely woman because my husband can sit right here a foot from me. And I'm so lonely because he's not going to talk to me like he does other people. My kids, they don't know their dad because he doesn't talk to them. Isn't that sad, church? Isn't that sad? I would say it is. So he said, Abraham, I know Abraham. He's not going to be that way. He will talk to his kids. He will talk to his wife. He'll have something to talk about, and he will teach his babies. A lot of men who are the man, the glory of God, think that's mama's world. You teach the kids. You're the stability. You're the strength. You've got to teach them spiritual growth. Well, according to this, he said, that's a reason I chose Abraham, because I knew he would teach those babies. And as they grew up, and then their children, and their descendants. That's how we know what we know today. That's how I know what I'm preaching to you, because I'm seeing it right here. And that's the kind of man Abraham was. He knew how to teach them about good manners. He didn't just fill their heads with a bunch of junk. Fill their heads with a lot of stuff because he wanted to be a cool dad. If you want to be a cool dad, you can be a cool dad, and then your kids sometimes turn out not quite like you wanted them to because you just filled their heads with a bunch of stuff. So you can either be their best friend, or you can be cool, or you can be a dad who loves them and disciplines them right, not harshly, but you discipline right, and you have rules in the house. And mom and I don't watch that, and you're not going to watch it either. Don't say, well, the kids aren't here, so, you know, we're going to watch. What are you going to watch? Huh? What you going to watch? Pastor, you're sounding awful old-fashioned this morning. I hope so. The Bible's pretty old-fashioned. Pretty old-fashioned. But if it's not good for the kids, it's not good for you either. They're using colorful words. You say, well, it's not really a cuss word. You know, I hear that more at work. I hear that word at work all the time. Everybody uses it. He said, Abraham won't. Do you know how many more people he could use if he could trust us? You say, well, I am so faithful to church. I'm faithful in giving. I'm faithful on my job. But are you faithful at home? Will you talk to your babies? Will you laugh with them? Do you give them attention or just other people's kids? Do you talk to your wife or just other women? How do you treat your wife compared to the other women? How's that go? You get up and see that woman in the morning, she's going to be just as ugly and tacky as your wife is early in the morning. Oh, I don't know. She thinks I'm cool. Well, she don't know you. If she knew what your wife knew. All right, I'll quit meddling before I get way out there. Y'all know what I'm saying. So anything don't go, church. Everything just can't go. And I know you hate to say no to your children sometimes, but you just have to. If you don't discipline, you spoil the child. And then they're not going to be good to anyone when they grow up. You don't want people to hate to see your kids coming. Put it all away. Here they come. Oh, boy. Oh, we're not going to be home. Quit lying like that. Just make the kids behave, and you can go ahead and have company. Yeah, well, you know, my mother forced me to come to church. You know the old saying. Mama forced me to come to church. That's why I don't want to go today. She forced me. Well, she forced you to take a bath. She forced you to brush your teeth. And I hope that you still do that. And she drugged me to church. Drugged me. Well, now you're drugged on something else. What? If you'd have stayed in church, I saw this as I was researching and looking up some of these words. How many know who Spurgeon is? He was a great, great preacher. They call him the Prince of Preachers. And he said he went to his grandma's old house. This is way back in the 1800s. And he goes to Grandma's house, and he said he looked up on this shelf in the kitchen, and there was a bottle, and in the bottom of the bottle was an apple. This apple was on the inside of the bottle. And he's thinking, how in the world did that happen? So he got up there, and he carefully got the bottle, and he pulled it down to think it must be a trick. So he was going to look underneath, but the bottom wouldn't unscrew. So he couldn't figure it all out. Well, she had two or three apple trees in the backyard, and he went out there about a month later, and he said there was a bottle out there, and she had put an apple seed in it. So you put the apple seed in the bottle, and I don't know if they had to water it a little bit or what they did, but pretty soon the apple starts growing. You got an apple. So you start telling your kids, well, you know, you go to church until you're 18. No, they go to church as long as they're in your house. You say, well, what are you going to do? They're 24. Kick them out. They're old enough to buy their own house or rent their own house. They don't need to be in your house on your insurance. I'm just saying, what was I saying? Whatever it was, I liked it. So I know what I'm saying. People start saying, well, I don't want to force my kids to go to church. Well, if I were you, it would be a very good thing. And I appreciate you, Andrea and Daryl. You got all these babies, all these kids. And they're all in the church. And they drive from Bakersfield to here to go to church. Of course, they do get to see Mama on Friday, Saturday. But keeping your kids in church is like keeping that little seed, apple seed, in a bottle. After a while, that apple seed begins to grow up, Sister Grace. It grows up. And the kids don't forget that what they're made of. That was apple seed. That was Abraham. That's Abraham stuff right there. Because he reached out and he called us. Now, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, I'll just interpret this for you. It says this, hear the instruction of your father. Please hear it. Even after you're married and gone, you can still remember some of the things that your dad taught you. And if you're in their house, please hear the instruction of your father, because the proverb says that it is, listen, it's the instruction of your father that is like an ornament over your head. He decorates you, Melissa, like a Christmas tree, like an ornament on a Christmas tree. That's what the father's instruction is. It's like an ornament. And it says the mother's law is like a chain around your neck. That's why when you're out playing with a crowd or doing something you shouldn't do, all of a sudden you'll feel a stop against you. Could that be mama's chain just yanking you back? Or you're downtown and somebody says, just something different about you. What is it? Could that be dad's instruction like an ornament on your head? God said, oh, I got good things that come from fathers. God trusts you, fathers. He trusts you, men, more than you trust yourself. You're the man. And the world, it makes me so upset. They keep trying to say men are toxic. Men are this, men are that. They're trying to kill masculinity. Are you kidding? They'll never do it, church. They'll never do it because men are men. God designed you to be men, and he designed you to be who you are. Not everybody's rough stuff, hunters and fishermen. But whoever you are, God caused you to be you. So you step out and let him bring you out. If you are out there in idolatry, well, he said, I want to use you. So, no. Men are the image of God. So I thank God. You still got a chance. You say, well, I didn't raise my kids right, Pastor. Well, they're out. You're probably not going to have much influence on. As good as you were, they don't want to hear what you got to say after they're married. You're bossing them around, even if you're giving them good instruction. So just don't say anything. You're better off. Keep peace. But as you get older, you can pray for those kids. Continue to pray. They're out of your house. You beat that drum. Matt Batterson says, pray circles around it. Remember that message I taught you for 6 months? Make circles around your prayer target. Circle it and circle it and circle it until those kids change. They will, with the authority and direction of their father. So you keep praying for them. And listen, fathers, let me just add this. Young fathers, don't allow this culture or the kids that your children go to school with, don't allow them or the internet or Facebook to tell your sons and your daughters who they are. Because you know what? They will tell them who they are, and they'll tell them who they're not. And that's, there's suicides all over happening right now with young people because Facebook is such a farce, and everybody thinks they've got it all together and their life's great and their life is drab. So this is where a godly father's going to come in, a godly mother, but it is Father's Day, so I'm going to address the man. So I'm just saying that's one reason I addressed you earlier about the man of God who talked to everybody but his kids. Men, there is something about your endorsement. Tell the kids how wonderful they are. Well, if I do, they're going to think there's something. Tell them anyway. You love to get kudos. You love for somebody to say something good about you. You love. Can you compliment them? If you're wrong, can you go to that baby, get down on your knee, or look up in his eyes and say, son, I'm sorry, I was wrong. A man of God has the ability to say, I was wrong. I am so sorry. Forgive me. It might be good to do it anyway, whether you're wrong or not, because you're the man of God and you're older than them. So don't let the culture tell your girls who they are and how they've got to be. Don't let them tell your boys, because if you do, if you don't tell them, the world will tell them. And you won't like that income. So, Dad, it does matter how you talk to your children, because God planned them for you. God put just the specific children in your life and knew that you would be the greatest father and mother to be with them. You say, yeah, but look at my father. But you wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for your father. Whether you know him or not, you're here. You're living today, and God has something for you. So just watch yourself, church. They watch you, they listen to you, and if you don't believe it, I'm gonna save time here. But if we went over to Genesis 20, and I'll be quick, our time's up, but do you remember, I'm sure you remember this story, those of you that know your Bible, Genesis chapter 20, Abraham was riding with his wife Sarah. She was a beautiful, beautiful woman. And he knew the culture of that time, and he knew how ungodly people were, how mean and murderous, and they would kill you at the drop of a hat. So Abraham's riding along, or walking along, with his beautiful wife, Sarah, and somebody came up and asked him, is that your wife? He said, no, it's my sister. Well, she was his half-sister, but he cowered. He was afraid, and he didn't acknowledge her as his wife. And he said, no, she's my sister. Now listen, here's what I want you to hear. So little Isaac, his son, his promised son, little Isaac, was standing right here by daddy. I mean, right here. So he hears what Abraham said to those bad boys. He heard dad say, no, she's not my wife. She's my sister. So it was a half truth. And so listen to this. 20 years later, down about maybe chapter 28, 29, little Isaac was walking along. He was also married to a beautiful, beautiful woman. And as they're walking around, here came some of the bad crowd up. Said, who is that beautiful woman you got with you? He said, oh, that's my sister. That's my sister. He told the same lie that his daddy told. Same lie. So if you say, well, I haven't instructed my kids too much. Well, Sometimes you don't have to. They're just watching you. They're watching you. They're listening to you. They see what you say. They see what you do. And God is talking about Abraham. He said, listen, he was a man of character when he was in the public view, and he was also godly when he was in private. When he was private, when he was all alone, he was the same man. And when you become the same person, whether there's a crowd around you or no one around you, it makes a big difference with God. And so your kids watch, they hear, they listen, and we can't do anything about the past, okay? That's over. That's gone. But only know right now, there was a man that would argue, a man of God, way back years ago, we first started the church. My sister Lainey and Doyle had a discipleship class. Every time he got in a class, he wanted to talk about social drinking. So he would take up for social drinking, and Lainey and Doyle stood against it, saying, no, here's what the word says. We don't believe in social drinking. We don't do it. We believe that wine is for those who are perishing, not for those. You need a clear head. So anyway, they go back and forth. So finally they told me. I didn't know that discussion was going on, but I figured they could handle it anyway. So they said, you know, the guy takes probably 15 or 20 minutes out of our important teaching to talk about that, and there's no cause to teach. You know, we don't have to talk about it, because people, when they come close to the Lord, they learn things. We're not here to be like other people. We're just not. So, you know, Jesus didn't save us to keep us just like the world. He didn't save us to talk like them, act like them, watch the same movies they watch, hang out with bad influences. He didn't do that. He met us different. Amen? Somebody say different. Mm-hmm. So one day this man that made that argument all the time, finally they said to him, now, brother, we can talk about this in private later on, but here's the scriptures that we stand on that now we're not going to argue that anymore, because the book of Titus told us not to argue over once or twice. Leave it alone. And then the Bible, that scripture does say, after once, after twice, present your case. After that, they're a heretic. I didn't say that. The Bible says they're a heretic. If they just want to keep arguing about it, forget it. Don't do it. So they stopped the argument. And guess what? His son grew up, watched what dad did, watched that there was nothing against it. We're not getting drunk. We just drink wine every night so we can go to sleep better, blah, blah, blah. Well, that young kid, about 12 years old, starts watching. There's always wine in the house. Now, you can do what you want. I'm just telling you a story. I wish you didn't, but that's up to you. So 12-year-old watches dad. Well, mom and dad were gone. He started tasting to see if he liked it. Pretty soon, the boy starts drinking, and, you know, he's in a rehab in Arizona right now. He has to live there. He never could get free of it. He didn't get free. Pretty soon he's schizophrenic. All kinds of things going on. And it didn't have to be. But listen, did his dad instruct him and teach him the ways of the Lord? A little bit. But the boy also watched what he was doing and what he was saying. Amen? Amen? So, they hear and they watch. So, 20 years later, that little boy is telling the same lie his dad told. So, it's like Cats in the Cradle and the Silver Spoon. Remember that song? So, your family needs you, you men of God. Your family needs you. And when God chose Joseph, God was looking for Mary, a husband, so that he could help him raise his son. And he chose Joseph. And the Bible says in Matthew that Joseph was a just man. Not perfect, but he was just. He said, I know that man will teach my boys. He will teach my son and his siblings. He will teach them the ways of the Lord. And it's just like if he chose Abraham to teach his children, he chose Joseph to teach his children, so has he chose you. Hallelujah. You're the man. You're the man that you take good care of your kids and your family just like he would. Amen. Would you stand with me today? Wonderful Master, we praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I know you know what day it is. Down here we have certain holidays and times that we commemorate, and memorials, and we remember. And today's where we remember our Father. And I just wanted to remind them of the authority, the power, the blessing, and the responsibility that you have given to the man of the house. They are a priest, and no one can take that place. No one, not the mom, not the kids. I've even watched children grow up and try to take the place of the dad. As long as there's a dad in the house, that just doesn't work. So, Lord, I pray a blessing over these precious men of God that are here today. They heard the message. I hope I delivered it right, Holy Spirit. I believe you helped me, but there's always more that could be said. So I ask that you help us read between the lines and get more than what was said. Lord, these men are nothing less than a Joshua. You told him, my servant is dead, but you be courageous. You're going to take these people over across the river. You're going to take them into Canaan's land. And Father, these men, these young fathers that have children in their home, give them the strength in hard times, sometimes financial times, sometimes a hard marital time. Lord, men go through things all by themselves, and we never know what is hurting them. They don't usually tell it to their wife, but Lord, the hurt and the pain and the struggle that my brothers, the men of God, suffered. Help them, Father. Lord, we women, we have the strength of our husband to go to, and he helps us. And Lord, the men, they don't have a husband to go to, but they have you. So men, come to him right there, right now, with your hands lifted. And say, Lord, I give all my stuff to you. All the little things I don't understand. All the rough stuff. All the hard times. All the things in my mind that trouble me. And I just can't seem to deal with them. Father, you heard the man of God. Turn them toward their families. Some are turned more toward their friends. Or more toward their hobby. Or more toward other people. Maybe even flirtatious, I don't know, but have them turn back today. I pray because of this message and because of your anointing, they will turn back to their wife, first to you, and then to their wives, and to their children, and keep their children in church and teach their children's children the way they should go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, ladies. Let's just lift our hands and thank God for the men. Father, thank you for your wonderful creation. Thank you that you made them in your image. Thank you that they are your glory. Lord, help the women and children. Help us, Lord, to honor them and encourage them and respect them. And Father, I know the men may not talk about it to the wives, but let the wives have a prophetic flair. And not be pounding on their husband. But Lord, just be there for them. And the men, you be there for your wife and children. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and to you, Miss Cindy, and carry you home safely. May he bring blessings upon you and your home. And be gracious to you, turn his beautiful countenance towards you, and give you all peace that passes understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.